You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. We're not in the studio today. We're in another room, so the sound will be a little bit different. I'm going to have some follow-up to a number of stories. First of all, some good news in California. It looks like the residents of Oroville and the surrounding area, roughly a little under 200,000 people, were allowed back into their homes. Remember, that was a story I did Monday about the spillway, the fact that the regular spillway was damaged, and they were concerned if they used the emergency spillway, it could cause further damage, if not a flood, of where a wall of water about 35 feet high would really destroy a lot of the surrounding area. Well, the good news is they've not entirely repaired the spillway, but they've been working on it around the clock. It looks like the rain is not going to come back until Thursday, and the water is down roughly 50 feet. The key number was it couldn't go over 901 feet. And if that happens, then they're in trouble. So good news in California. The rain, there's still rain in the forecast for Thursday and the weekend, but the residents of that area can come back. And hopefully there'll probably be some more rain, but it won't result in the flood that they were expecting from either the emergency or their normal spillway, the concrete spillway. The regular spillway is concrete. The problem is it had was a big hole. They fixed or tried to fix as best they can that hole by filling it with a lot of rocks, and they've been working around the clock, and that has helped the concrete spillway, and because of that they don't have to use the emergency one. Now if it comes back and it rains a lot and they go over that 901 foot level, and that's way beyond any records, then they could have another evacuation. Right now, they have an evacuation warning. In essence, you can come back into your homes, live in your homes, but be alerted to that at any time you might have to get out in a hurry. I wanted to pass that update of that story, a Monday story. Now, Tuesday, the big story is the resignation, the asked for and given resignation of National Security Advisor Mike Flynn. And more information is coming out, but what I'm concerned about and what a lot of people are concerned about is what's going on here. Namely, government employees, most likely from the intelligence community, and that could be the National Security Agency, it could be the Central Intelligence Agency, the Justice Department, and the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We don't know where the leaks are coming from, except one article in the Post indicated there were 9 sources. There are multiple sources. Now, what's the problem with that? That's a crime, folks, and it's a serious crime for this reason. The phone call conversation that's getting all the attention is General Flynn, or retired, but now former also National Security Advisor, had in December, December, called the Russian ambassador. Now, remember, in roughly 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, Donald Trump was going to be sworn in as president. And as national security advisor, he was getting up to speed and calling a number of nations' ambassadors to talk with him because he needed to first touch base with his counterparts in those governments. And to the extent that they wanted to talk to President Trump or President Trump wanted to talk to the leaders of those nations, he needed to interact with them and picked up the phone and made several phone calls to the Russian ambassador. Now, what he didn't know, although probably strongly suspected, is that the National Security Agency had been intercepting the phone calls of anyone making a phone into the Russian embassy or out from the Russian embassy. And the fact that the National Security Agency would, by intercepting, have copies of those phone calls. Remember that General Flynn was his last military assignment, and he's a 3-star lieutenant general, was director, head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which I went over last meeting. And I'm sure he knew that various opponents that we have, and that includes Russia, Communist China, North Korea, the Islamic State of Iran, the Islamic State, that the NSA has information from communications, or what's called signals intelligence, due to intercepting calls. And that any call that he made, for example, to Russia, which he did, he made, I believe, 5 is the number that has been reported, that the NSA would have a copy of it. And they did. Usually, and you need to understand this, where a U.S. citizen, and yes, General Flynn is a U.S. citizen, is part of the conversation, there are definitely strict protocols to follow and making sure that the privacy of that individual and the name of the individual and the conversation is handled according to the protocol. In other words, we don't want an invasion of the general's privacy. And if you're high up in the for example, the CIA or the State Department or any government agency, to the extent that you have access to the communication transcript, in other words, the transcript of the phone calls that the general made, Mike Flynn made, you probably didn't know his name, or you shouldn't have known his name. So what this is indicating, and this is an important point, that someone at a low level, like an intelligence analyst or someone that's working for the government, that knew the name, passed this information on. This is a very serious crime. It's a felony. And if the person's name is revealed and they have the proof, he's going to be charged. And it needs to be investigated because this information apparently has been leaked by not one, but several government employees. So the FBI is investigating this. Now, I want to repeat something that I said yesterday and really reinforce this. When you're at a high level, such as Mike Flynn or President Trump, you're making phone calls all day long. And unless someone is recording it and making a transcript of it, and as president, that is done. But someone that's not in that position, they normally don't record their phone conversations and don't make transcripts because that just takes time and most people don't want to do it. So I know, or I don't say, I shouldn't say no. I assume, and I assume General Flynn assumed, that he never had to try to remember all the details of the phone conversation, because if he had to, he would have either recorded and get a transcript. And he didn't do that. So this information that's been leaked to the press has to come from the intelligence community, most likely the NSA, National Security Agency. Don't confuse the NSA, the National Security Agency, with the position that Flynn formerly had, namely National Security Advisor, that's located in the White House. National Security Advisor doesn't require congressional approval, but it's a high-level position. It's a key position in the White House, and Donald Trump picked General Flynn, has had until yesterday confidence in General Flynn. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we've heard the full story. As a matter of fact, I can almost guarantee we've not heard the full story. Because what I'm picking up, and this is very, how should I say, disturbing. General Flynn was not shown, and this is according to news reports that are reporting to what Flynn said, he never was shown, had the courtesy of being shown the entire transcript. That's important. Because let me characterize what's going on here. There's a difference between someone mentioning a subject, someone discussing a subject, or someone negotiating a subject. This Russian ambassador has a reputation. He's a talker. I'm a talker too. And apparently he brought up the recent sanctions that President Obama imposed on the Russians, namely that they had to, I believe the number's 35 diplomats had to leave. And that he imposed in, I believe, in December. Could have been November. I forget exactly when. But as a result, what the press is trying to do, what I call big lie media is trying to do, is try to say that Mike Flynn, the incoming national security advisor, was discussing or negotiating it when, until you see the transcript and the entire context, no one really knows. They wouldn't give Flynn a copy. And that's suspicious in and of itself. I think they told him, even though this was a conversation he had, he didn't remember all the details. And let me tell you just, when I do a radio show like this, after the show, usually that day, sometimes the next day, I do what I call post-production. I will go through a recording of this show. And this morning, actually this afternoon, early, right around noon, I was doing post-production on yesterday's show, which I finished and is now posted. Now, I usually have anywhere from a 40-minute to an hour. Sometimes they go longer. It's a show I usually have given either the previous day or, in the worst case, 2-3 days at the outside. I don't remember what I said. Now, it's not that I have a forgetful memory. It's I'm talking off the top of my head. There's no script. It's like a telephone conversation, but there is no conversation. Yes, I'm speaking to an audience, but I'm not talking to anyone. So I have control of the subject area generally, but because my show is very much stream of consciousness, I could generally tell you what the show's about if I see the title, but I couldn't tell you all the specifics in detail. And I think that's exactly the situation Mike Flynn was in. He didn't know all the details. And remember, this is before he was approached on this, and this became a issue. More than a month went away. And how did this become an issue? Someone leaked the information to big lie media, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, specifically. Mike Flynn does not have a transcript of it. The only ones that for sure do is the National Security Agency, and they apparently have provided the White House a copy. And that's where he got tripped up. I was talking to a student, and I said, you know, if the FBI ever knocks on your door and wants to talk to you, be very, very careful. Now, I have a lot of respect for the FBI, but I know they can lie to you, and they don't get in trouble. But if you lie to them, whether intentionally or not, you could get in serious trouble. So the best approach is, gentlemen or ma'am, I'd like to talk to you, but I'm not going to cooperate because anything I say you can use against me, and I don't have an attorney, and because of that, thank you, but I'm not answering any questions. See, the right thing to do if you have an attorney, the attorney will say, shut up, make sure I'm there, and if they're going to ask you questions that could lead to your conviction if you say the wrong things, then on advice of counsel, don't say anything. See, the FBI and police know that most people are just going to answer the question. And why? Because they're innocent. They're not. They don't have a guilty conscience. Most people will answer the question. And the problem is Mike Flynn didn't recall many of the details of that conversation. I am not surprised at all. But what puts him in an awkward position is the person that has the transcript. We don't know the context and what was said other than what, and I played this to you yesterday. They gave, apparently, it went to the Justice Department, the FBI, and the information was presented to the White House counsel. They reviewed it and made a determination that none of the conversation involves illegal activity. And that doesn't surprise, that's what I would expect, and that's what the White House is saying. What the media is trying to do is, and it's biased, folks, you get the impression that, one, they shouldn't have been talking to the Russian ambassador. That is simply not true. That's biased. He had a perfect right to, and he had a right to expect that his telephone conversations would not be in the press. He has a right of privacy. And as long as he's not engaged in passing information to the Russians, and see, that's the impression they're trying to get at. Either he gave him information that he shouldn't have, or he was negotiating or discussing the sanctions because Obama was still president. How dare he? No one is seen outside of the NSA, the White House, and maybe someone in the FBI and the Department of Justice has seen the full transcript. Now, where Mike Flynn can get in trouble, they might have asked him, did you discuss the sanctions? And he might have simply forgotten that it was brought up and said, no, I didn't discuss it. And that's the truth, except the ambassador brought it up. It was mentioned. You see the problem here? The distinction is very important between something being mentioned and brought up by the Russian ambassador, something that was discussed. Even it was discussed, as far as I'm concerned, that's not a crime. He wasn't trying to negotiate this at all with the Russian ambassador. Now, if he was, he's in trouble. But he didn't. At least everything I've heard, especially what the White House is saying, there was no crime here. And that's the point. There was no crime. It is perfectly reasonable for an incoming national security advisor to talk with his counterparts, not only with Russia, but a whole host of nations, not only at the ambassador level, but his counterparts in other governments. Because he's responsible for giving advice to the president, or at least was until yesterday, until he was relieved and resigned, to be the president's key advisor regarding national security. What's going on here is dangerous. And I had the right take that this smacks of a police state. This what happens in police states. They have you, they're spying on you, they're conducting surveillance. And they can ruin your reputation. And you don't know what's going on. And that's what I think's happened. Government employees that are getting a paycheck, most likely career people that have made a career of being government service, that are partisans, probably for Obama or Clinton. What are they doing? They're breaking the law. If they get caught, and I hope they do get caught, and I'll talk to that in a minute. They should be prosecuted, and if found guilty, should be sent to prison and pay a stiff fine. That's what should happen. And apparently, there's a number of them, and it's been going on. Now, it's been going on in other administrations. This is not new, but it's getting out of control. And the victim in this sense is Mike Flynn. But we don't know all the facts. I'm not reaching any type of conclusion. And I've said, and I'll say it again, the president's is perfectly entitled to his team. And he needs confidence or trust in the people that are key advisors. And if he doesn't think if he's lost confidence in General Flynn, then it was appropriate to ask for his resignation as well as General Flynn to give his resignation. But I'm sort of agreeing with those that are thinking this is a political assassination and it's not going to stop. I think the Trump administration made a big, big mistake here, assuming that what we know now is really the extent. Now, I want to play something, and this came out today, and let me play it. Today, and I will get to this story in a minute, there was a big press conference because the Israeli prime minister is here talking with a much friendlier White House now. You see, the Barack Obama, deep down, thought Israel was the problem. He was pro-Palestinian, and relations were probably the worst between the United States and Israel they've been in the entire since the formation, the creation of Israel. So now we have a new president that I think is very much friendlier and more sympathetic to the government of Israel. Now I'm going to play at the press conference, and I will play the key portions of the press because some major news was made. But he was asked a question. The president was asked a question about Mike Flynn. And the president indicated that he felt rather strongly that he was unfairly treated. Let's hear the president. This is President Trump at this joint press conference.
Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, both of you have criticized the Iran nuclear deal and at times even called for its repeal. I'm wondering if you're concerned at all as it relates to not just the National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, who has recently no longer here, but also some of those events that have been going on with communication in Russia, if that is going to hamper this deal at all, and whether or not it would keep Iran from becoming a nuclear state. And secondly, on the settlement issue, are you both on the same page? How do you exactly term that as it relates to the settlement issue? Thank you.
Michael Flynn, General Flynn, is a wonderful man. I think he's been treated very, very unfairly by the media, as I call it, the fake media in many cases. And I think it's really a sad thing that he was treated so badly. I think in addition to that, from intelligence, papers are being leaked, things are being leaked. It's criminal action, criminal act. And it's been going on for a long time before me. But now it's really going on. And people are trying to cover up for a terrible loss that the Democrats had under Hillary Clinton. I think it's very, very unfair what's happened to General Flynn, the way he was treated, and the documents and papers that were illegally, I stress that, illegally leaked. Very, very unfair. As far as settlements, I'd like to see you hold back on settlements for a little bit. We'll work something out, but I would like to see a deal be made. I think a deal will be made. I know that every president would like to. Most of them have not started till late because they never thought it was possible. And it wasn't possible because they didn't do it. But Bibi and I have known each other a long time, a smart man, great negotiator, and I think we're going to make a deal. It might be a bigger and better deal than people in this room even understand. That's a possibility. So let's see what we do.
Now, that was President Trump in the White House with Bibi Netanyahu. I always mispronounce his name. The Prime Minister of Israel. And I'll play a little bit later in the show some more of that press conference. Now, I'm glad he mentioned Hillary Clinton. During the campaign, remember what was one of the issues? Hillary Clinton had set up her own email server, and on that server there were over 2,000 classified, highly classified documents from confidential all the way up to the highest security levels. Special compartmented programs is probably the highest. They're closely held. She lied about it. And what went missing, as Donald Trump pointed out many times, as well as the media, 33,000 emails were destroyed. Now, some were recovered, but most of the emails were destroyed. Hillary Clinton and her immediate staff violated the law in the handling of these documents, also in the destruction of government property. The appropriate way was not to set up a separate server, but to use a government server where you're assigned an email account. She didn't do that. She thought she was above the law. Oh, she made a huge mistake. But why did she do it? That was the question that was been asked many times. Well, why did she do it? She didn't want the president. She didn't want the press to know what she was doing. She wanted to cover her tracks. And the president sent email to her. The president was aware that Hillary Clinton had this email server and was using an email account that was not on the Department of State email system. And I point that out because the president should supervise the Secretary of State when she's doing something that is, in this case, illegal. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, the FBI concluded that they couldn't prosecute her. That's one interpretation. The Justice Department and people in the Justice Department were obstructing justice. The only way the FBI could get the evidence that they needed was for the Justice Department to have a grand jury set up specifically to address the many crimes. If you have one secret document on your email that's not, and it's not supposed to be there, that's a count or a felony. And you have to go out of your way to get that email on your server because they are handled in a separate room and a separate system. So between her staff and Hillary Clinton, she got numerous highly classified documents, as well as normal communication regarding sensitive information that should have been classified. But Hillary Clinton thought she was above the law. The American people thought otherwise. And I said before the election, Hillary Clinton is going to be convicted of these crimes, and they will speak on Election Day. However, Donald Trump's supporters prior to him being elected. And you saw it in event after event, including the Republican convention. What were they shouting? Lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. Now, I want to be fair. She should have her day in court. But the fix was in. President Obama fixed it, again with his attorney general, and they all thought Hillary Clinton was going to get elected. And because of that, Hillary Clinton skated. No pardon was given. You know, I, on this show, said I fully expected that Barack Obama would offer a pardon. And I don't know that he didn't. Right now, my opinion is he probably did offer her a pardon right before he left the White House. But the Clintons made it very, very clear. Hillary Clinton made it very clear that she would not accept it. And if she was not going to accept the pardon, President Obama is not going to be embarrassed. He's not going to publicly offer it. In other words, there was a private conversation, and she made clear she wasn't going to accept it. That's her right, as it was President Obama's. President Obama can offer absolute pardons. He didn't for Hillary Clinton, and many were hoping that he would. Because if he did and Hillary Clinton accepted it, the investigation of at least Hillary Clinton would end. Remember, though, you have other people involved, namely Bill Clinton, because a lot of this is public corruption. Forget, set aside for a minute, there were two major areas, and the investigation is still continuing, by the way, of the second area, namely public corruption, where people were making charitable contributions to the Clinton Foundation, anticipating two things. One, they could get a meeting or access to the Secretary of State when she was Secretary of State, and that happened many times. And then access to her when she was elected President of the United States. So many heads of foreign governments made contributions. And in many countries across this land, not the United States, the globe, bribery is routine. It's a way of doing business. So yes, they would make millions of dollars of contributions to the Clinton Foundation, expecting something. It's not that they love the Clinton Charitable Foundation, but they understood it as what it was. It was a bribe, and it's called pay for play. If you pay us the money, you'll get something for it. Now, what they got for it was a meeting that could lead to something else. That's why I say she's entitled to her day in court, but the charges never went forward because you needed a, normally in these types of crimes, what you do, you work your way from the bottom on up. And what the bottom, I mean, the people that were the staff that were working for her, you give immunity to one or more people in exchange for their testimony that would incriminate Hillary Clinton. But to do that, you need, the FBI cannot call a grand jury, and the FBI cannot prosecute her. That is the job of the Justice Department. And like I said, the fix was in as long as President Obama was the president and Loretta Lynch was the attorney general. Well, with the win of Donald Trump, we have a new president and a new attorney general. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former senator from Alabama. And he's only been on the job a week. Maybe 10 days. I've sort of lost count, but I think I'm fairly close. Mr. Trump, Mr. President, if you want to stop the leaks, you need to fulfill your campaign promise to the American people and your supporters, because you asked and said in a debate, and let me play what you said in a debate to remind people what Donald Trump said as well as Hillary Clinton.
But when you talk about apology, I think the one that you should really be apologizing for, and the thing that you should be apologizing for, are the 33,000 emails that you deleted and that you acid washed, and then the two boxes of emails and other things last week that were taken from an office and are now missing. And I'll tell you what, I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it, but if I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor. When I speak, I go out and speak, the people of this country are furious. In my opinion, the people that have been long-term workers at the FBI are furious. There has never been anything like this where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails. And then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done, and it's a disgrace. And honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Secretary Clinton, I want to follow up on that. I'm going to let you talk about email.
Because everything he just said is absolutely false, but I'm not surprised.
Really?
In the first debate...
And we
the
audience needs to calm down here.
I told people that it would be impossible to be fact-checking Donald all the time. I'd never get to talk about anything I want to do and how we're going to really make lives better for people. So, once again, go to HillaryClinton.com. We have literally Trump. You can fact-check him in real time. Last time at the first debate, we had millions of people fact-checking, so I expect we'll have millions more fact-checking because, you know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Yes, she would be in jail. And Mr. Trump, President Trump, it's time to call Attorney General Sessions and call for an independent special prosecutor to investigate not only the national security crimes of Hillary Clinton, but also the public corruption crimes. The American people, the people that voted for you, that supported you and believed in you, want that. They're demanding that. You see, when you make someone above the law, which Hillary Clinton thinks she is, people see that. There shouldn't be one law for the average American and an entirely separate law for those in political power. She should have been prosecuted. It's way overdue, and I'm calling you on it, Mr. President, as are your supporters that were shouting, chanting, lock her up, lock her up. It's time for the Attorney General to appoint an independent special prosecutor and stop the criminal behavior of the Clintons and her immediate staff. Make the case, prosecute Hillary Clinton, and that would set an example and a reminder to all these leakers. Here's what happens when you break the law. Right now, people are seeing that Hillary Clinton and her immediate staff and Bill Clinton, they got away with it. When you excuse criminal behavior, what do you get? A reward criminal behavior. What happens? You get more criminal behavior, and that's why you're having more and more leaks. Hillary Clinton should be made an example of. She's not above the law. And you know it, and I know it, and the American people are beyond outraged on this. It's overdue. If you're serious about stopping the leakers, the biggest leaker by far and the biggest compromising of national security has been Hillary Clinton. And Russia and several other nations for sure hacked her server. Oh yeah, she's subject to blackmail. The newspapers wanted to say, or someone in the Justice Department wanted to say, well, Mike Flynn could have been blackmailed because he made those phone calls. Excuse me. If anyone could be blackmailed, it's Hillary Clinton. She's damaged goods. She's compromised. She's compromised national security. She's compromised our agents abroad. Several have been killed. She's a security risk. If she were in the government, she would have been fired, prosecuted, and probably be in prison by now. But because she was the Democratic candidate for president, there was another standard. There should not be two standards. There's only one rule of law. And she has violated several statutes. And I've given shows on that. It's way past time. I expect within the next 30 days, 60 days at the outside, that the Attorney General should be calling for an independent special prosecutor. Once your cabinet officials are approved, And that, remember, there are 4,000 positions. Not all 4,000 positions has to go to the Senate. But the key cabinet positions, secretary, deputy secretary, do. So once that's over, Mr. President, many of your supporters, many that voted for you, are expecting you to fulfill your promise and make that phone call to Attorney General Sessions. And he's already indicated he will recuse himself, fine, because of his involvement with the campaign. But he'll have a deputy, and the instructions will go forward to call for and appoint an independent special prosecutor. If you're serious about the leaks, that is a mandatory, essential first step to hopefully stop future leaks. It'll give a lot of, let us say, pause to those that might be considering leaking documents, even though they know it's a serious felony with serious prison time and fines. In my mind, that should be the first step. There are other things you can do. Hillary Clinton is not above the law. I don't care if she's a former first lady or the Democratic candidate for president. The reason they continued in their criminal behavior is they could and they got away with it. And look what happened to Mike Flynn. He didn't get the courtesy to see a copy of a transcript, a complete transcript of his conversations, to refresh his memory. I've seen Hillary Clinton testify in Congress where she will repeatedly say, I don't remember, I don't recall. I don't remember, I don't recall. It's like she wasn't there, like she had no mind. She does it because she's a trained attorney and knows that's the best answer. She doesn't need legal counsel to tell her. And you see, I can understand many times that that's probably true, but there are other times, especially if it's a grievous crime, she's not going to admit it. She's not going to incriminate herself. So that really should be a future story. I'm highlighting it because leaking is a problem. It's a crime, and it's a crime wave, apparently, now that President Trump is in the White House. You see, I was talking to a student, and I said, it looks like the left, what I call the lying lunatic left, is having a nervous breakdown. Some have called it Trump derangement syndrome or disorder. They're becoming a little nutty. And if you want examples, just tune to CNN if you can stand watching it. Well, we'll wait and see if that happens. Now, I want to make clear to kind of button up the Michael Flynn situation. President Trump said he was not treated fairly. I think that's true, but I think it's not just by the press. It's by your own administration and people in the administration. You may or may not be aware of it. And I fully support you. If you have truly lost trust in Mike Flynn, then you did the right thing and Mike Flynn did the right thing. But I am not seeing the full story here. What he did was his job. See, I've come to the conclusion that I don't think he intentionally lied at all. He just didn't remember every detail of many conversations. And it wasn't a question of faulty memory. No human being can. And if the details were that important, it should have been recorded and a transcript made at the time of the call. It wasn't. So I can try to see both sides. I could see where Mike Pence was upset, but I think Mike Pence better do some soul searching here, because I think it's highly unreasonable to expect your advisor to know all the details of many phone conversation. Mike Pence can't do it. You can't do it. I know I can't do it. And just so it's perfectly clear here, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I didn't vote this time at all. Period. I think there's an element of fairness and give the person a chance to do his job, and I think that was overridden. And I think you made a serious mistake, Mr. Trump, and it's going to cost you, because the other side now sees blood in the water and they're going to continue to do this. They're going to go after Bannon, Conway, and others in your administration. Why? Because they have taken out Mike Flynn. They have their scalp. Oh, yeah, they were unfair, but what's the result? What's truly unfair is Hillary Clinton and the people involved in numerous national security violations, mishandling of documents, as well as destroying documents, got away with it. That's truly what's fair, and that's the outrage of the American people. Now, I'm not expecting Mike Flynn to come back, and there's no indispensable person, and you might find several other better qualified, and I think you may have found one. I don't know. But that's your right to appoint another national security advisor, and if you're not happy with him, you can get rid of him or anybody else in your administration. You know it, I know it. But it doesn't reflect well on you, and if I were in that administration, I would think seriously about what happened. Because it looks like you're not supporting your own people, Mr. Trump. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I'll tell you right now, there are a number of callers that were not happy with this at all. One caller said, is it possible that Mike Flynn could come back? No, it's not possible. That's not going to happen. You see, the big lie media, that's what I call them. I don't call them fake media. They do fake news stories. It's big lie media. They don't do serious news. It's propaganda. They're all in the tank. They're largely Democrats, and they support the Democratic Party agenda, and they support the Democratic Party line and candidates. They're never going to be fair. If anything, they will lie about you and do anything to destroy your administration. The game plan of the Democratic Party is to impeach and convict you. And you're going to need your people to defend your administration. And this was a terrible thing you did by requiring Mike Flynn to resign. You need to fully explain that. Assuming you can. I'm not privy to all the information. And that's the conclusion that many people are coming to, that this was unfair. Mike Flynn was unfairly forced to resign. And based on the record I've seen, he shouldn't have been forced out. There's always going to be politicking in any White House. And there are rivalries. Mr. Trump, you need to set the record straight. And that means releasing a complete transcript of those telephone conversations to let the American people decide, did Mike Flynn do something wrong? I don't think he did. And he has a well-deserved reputation for telling the truth. He also, and that gets people in trouble. If you tell the truth and are direct, that will get you in trouble. And I'm beginning to suspect that that maybe is the real reason. I don't think we've really gotten all the information as to why you forced him to resign. And you did force him to resign. As much as you want to say he was unfairly treated, well, if he was unfairly treated, then why did you force him to resign? It doesn't follow. In other words, the American people are owed a explanation. And if you don't provide it to them, they will take note. And they're waiting for you to come through on your promise to appoint an independent special prosecutor. Now, finally, and I am running out of time, there was some breaking news today. And before I play this, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, under my photograph, you'll see links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. And under that, you'll get a lot of my show prep, and that's YouTube videos, articles. And I don't have time, but I want to point two articles to read. They're both getting a lot of attention. One is by Eli Lake of Bloomberg, and I don't have time to play the clips, but I strongly recommend you read his article, Was Michael Flynn Politically Assassinated? I think he was. And it's a long, not a long article, and this was published yesterday, and you could read it. And the second article, again on Michael Flynn and what's truly going on here. This was a campaign to oust Mike Flynn by the opposition, not the loyal opposition, the lying lunatic left opposition. The phrase today is deep state. What we're talking about is government employees that are violating their own oaths and breaking the law, committing felonies by giving the media highly classified documents, blowing security. And it's by Adam, I'm going to mispronounce it, Credo. So those are two articles that I would read. And like I say, I don't think we have all the facts. And I can be convinced. My gut is telling me that Mike Pence got bent out of shape. I would be bent out of shape. If you go on a national television a while back in what appears to be a lie, you were told that supposedly Mike Flynn did not discuss sanctions. Well, apparently he did not discuss it. It was mentioned. And now you've seen the full transcript, and Mike Flynn apologized for his faulty memory because it was mentioned. But when your opposition sees blood in the water, oh yeah, they got their scalp, but now they're out for more. They're hungry again, and they're going to continue to be hungry until you set some examples. Now, the news story in my mind today is the fact that the Israeli Prime Minister and Donald Trump met in the White House. They had a joint news conference. They both know each other. And let's hear the news.
Mr. President, in your vision for the new Middle East peace, are you ready to give up of the notion of two-state solution that was adopted by previous administration? And will you be willing to hear different ideas from the prime ministers, as some of his partners are asking him to do, for example, annexation of parts of the West Bank and unrestricted settlement constructions? And one more question, are you going to fulfill your promise to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, and if so, when? And Mr. Prime Minister, did you come here tonight to tell the President that you are backing off the two-state solution? Thank you.
So I'm looking at two-state and one-state, and I like the one that both parties like. I'm very happy with the one that both parties like. I can live with either one. I thought for a while the two-state looked like it may be the easier of the two. But honestly, if Bibi and if the Palestinians, if Israel and the Palestinians are happy, I'm happy with the one they like the best. As far as the embassy moving to Jerusalem, I'd love to see that happen. We're looking at it very, very strongly. We're looking at it with great care, believe me. And we'll see what happens, okay?
Thank you. I read yesterday that an American official said that if you ask five people what two states would look like, you'd get eight different answers. Well, Mr. President, if you ask five Israelis, you'd get 12 different answers. But rather than deal with labels, I want to deal with substance. It's something I've hoped to do for years in a world that's absolutely fixated on labels and not on substance. So here's the substance. There are two prerequisites for peace that I laid out several years ago, and they haven't changed. First, the Palestinians must recognize the Jewish state. They have to stop calling for Israel's destruction. They have to stop educating their people for Israel's destruction. Second, in any peace agreement, Israel must retain the overriding security control over the entire area west of the Jordan River, because if we don't, we know what will happen. Because otherwise, we'll get another radical Islamic terrorist state in the Palestinian areas, exploding the peace, exploding the Middle East. Now, unfortunately, the Palestinians vehemently reject both prerequisites for peace. First, they continue to call for Israel's destruction inside their schools, inside their mosques, inside the textbooks. You have to read it to believe it. They even deny, Mr. President, our historical connection to our homeland. And I suppose you have to ask yourself, why are Jews called Jews? Well, the Chinese are called Chinese because they come from China. The Japanese are called Japanese because they come from Japan. Well, Jews are called Jews because they come from Judea. This is our ancestral homeland. Jews are not foreign colonialists in Judea. So unfortunately, the Palestinians not only deny the past, they also poison the present. They name public squares in honor of mass murderers who murdered Israelis, and I have to say, also murdered Americans. They pay monthly salaries to the families of murderers, like the family of the terrorist who killed Taylor Force, a wonderful young American, a West Point graduate, who was stabbed to death while visiting Israel. So this is the source of the conflict, the persistent Palestinian refusal to recognize a Jewish state in any boundary, this persistent rejectionism. That's the reason we don't have peace. Now that has to change.
That was President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi. I can't pronounce his last name. I thought it was eloquent. Let me try. Netanyahu. How about that? Is it close enough? What was news is what the president said, as well as what the prime minister said. It's not the labels, whether it's two states, one state. What's the issue, or what's the impediment to peace? Unfortunately, it's the Palestinians. They do want to destroy the nation of Israel. They hate the Jews. And any politician that's Palestinian that calls for a two-state solution is not going to get reelected or might get killed. The government of Israel is not the problem. It's the leadership in Palestine, Hamas. So I wish the president and the prime minister well. I hope they make progress. But we've been trying to do this for decades, and we have not reached a solution, two-state or one-state. Maybe eventually, as generations die, there'll be a change, but don't hold your breath. I want to thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.